Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mia, visste du att 4 av 10 svenskar har problem med magen varje månad och att var femte upplever att magbesvären styr och hindrar dem i vardagen? Och det är faktiskt bara hälften av de här som gör något åt det. Och faktiskt är det bara 20% som har en diagnos.
Jag tänker att det där beror på att det finns så mycket stigma och okunskap när det kommer till magproblem. Att många lider i det tysta och inte gör något åt saken.
Men det finns så mycket man kan göra för att stötta sin maghälsa, och ett sätt, det är att få i sig mer fibrer.
Absolut, för många svenskar får i sig för lite fibrer. Och förutom att se över sin kost så kan man också komplettera med ett fiberrikt tillskott. Och då vill jag lyfta vår sponsor Husk, som vi har ett betalt samarbete med och som gör tillskottet Husk Mage i balans, som då mycket riktigt har ett högt innehåll av just fibrer.
Husk Mage i balans är ett kosttillskott som är gjort på kostfibrer från psylliumfröskal. Och psylliumfröskal bidrar till en normal matsmältning och en normalt fungerande tarmfunktion både vid lös och hård mage.
Husk Mage i balans finns i 3 olika varianter. Husk Mage i balans klassik, mjölksyra bakterier och nyheten jordgubb, som förutom psylliumfröskal också innehåller krispiga jordgubbsflingor för en god smak.
Det är enkelt att göra Husk Mage i balans till en del av din vardag. Kosttillskottet kommer i pulverform och du kan enkelt strö det över kalla rätter som exempelvis yoghurt, eller blanda ner det i smoothies, juice eller varför inte bara i vatten.
Superdupergott och stötta din maghälsa helt enkelt.
Ja, och sen kom ihåg att kosttillskott inte bör ersätta en varierad kost. Det är viktigt med en balanserad och varierad kost och hälsosam livsstil.
Vi säger tack Husk!
Vi har fin besök i Food Pharmacy-podden idag, nämligen Jessie Enchospé. Och hon är ju från Frankrike, och jag är verkligen ingen mästare på det franska språket som ni hör, så att jag ber om ursäkt för dåligt uttal. Hur som helst, hon är biokemist och bästsäljande författare med en tydlig mission att översätta banbrytande forskning till enkla tips som hjälper människor att förbättra både sin fysiska och psykiska hälsa. Ja, hon har startat plattformen, eller ja, man kan nästan kalla det för rörelsen, Glucose Goddess, och har 1 miljon följare på Instagram. Hon bor i New York, och det var när hon jobbade på ett nystartat företag i Silicon Valley som sysslade med genanalyser som hon insåg att bra matvanor spelar större roll än våra gener när det gäller hälsa. Så, Lina har alltså träffat Jessie Enchospé.
I mean, you are like a rock star within the area of glucose.
Yes.
I'm so happy to meet you.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, your Instagram and international bestseller Glucose Revolution has helped an enormous amount of people all over the world with everything from PCOS, diabetes type 2, fatigue, I mean, you name it. Let's take it from the beginning. What is glucose?
Ooh, my favorite question. So glucose is the energy that every cell in your body uses. So right now, my hand cells are using glucose to move my fingers. Your eye cells are using glucose to look at me. My tongue cells are using glucose to speak. Every single cell in your body needs glucose for energy. And as human beings, the main way that we give glucose to our cells that want it is through eating foods. Specifically through eating starchy foods. So that's bread, rice, potatoes, pasta, etc. Starchy foods. And sweet foods, so anything that tastes sweet, from an apple to a cookie. So in these starchy and sweet foods, there is glucose. And so you might think, okay, I want to have a lot of energy. I want my body to be fueled and like super pumped all the time. So I should just eat as much starchy and sweet foods as possible. That's a pretty logical step to take, but actually it's not true. So what happens is that your body needs some glucose, but if you give your body too much glucose, then problems start happening. It's a little bit like if you're trying to keep a plant alive in your apartment, you need to give the plant a little bit of water, but if you give the plant too much water, then the plant dies. So yeah. The human body is the same. Some glucose is really good, but too much and problems start happening. And so there's one thing that's called a glucose spike. Mm-hmm. And that is a very rapid increase in the glucose in your body after eating. And these glucose spikes are the ones that create a lot of symptoms for us. And the glucose spikes is what I teach people to avoid.
So why is it important for someone who wants to live healthy to keep track of their glucose levels, or spikes, as you call it?
Because when we have glucose spikes, they affect so many parts of our health, physical and mental. They create cravings, they can affect our hormones, our fertility, our mental health, our sleep, and long term, they can lead to the development of things like type 2 diabetes or increase one's risk of cancer or Alzheimer's. For a long time, you know, we thought only if you have diabetes, you should worry about glucose levels. Mm. Otherwise, don't worry. But in the past few years, we've actually discovered that the majority of the population has these glucose spikes every day, even if they're not diabetic. And that was the huge discovery that changed so much. And now more and more studies are coming out showing us that these glucose spikes affect us on a daily basis. They can make us really hungry all the time. They can make us crave sugar and feel addicted to sugar. They can affect our fatigue, you know, make us like chronically fatigued. They can affect even our personality and how nice we are to other people. So it's really important to learn to study them. And it's not very hard, which is, I think, the very important message here is that to avoid glucose spikes, there are things you can do that are very, very easy and that'll help you feel better soon.
I will ask you about that a little bit later, but you talked about these glucose spikes, and I read in your book that some glucose spikes are more harmful than others. Would you please tell us a bit about that?
Absolutely. So as I mentioned, glucose exists in starchy foods and sweet foods. The thing is, in a sweet food, there's also another molecule that goes hand in hand with glucose, and the other molecule is called fructose. And this fructose molecule, it doesn't make a glucose spike. It doesn't show up on the glucose monitor if that's what you're wearing, but it has very deep consequences on your health. Fructose is even more harmful than glucose. So all this to say that a glucose spike from a starchy food is actually much less bad for you than a glucose spike from a sweet food, because the glucose spike from the sweet food also has this fructose in it.
So can we take two examples so everyone understands? Glucose from pasta.
Pasta, yeah. So in pasta, there's just glucose, okay? And then if you take like a cake that tastes sweet, in a cake, there's glucose and fructose. The fructose is kind of invisible. You know, you don't see it. You don't see it on a glucose monitor, but it hurts your liver. It increases inflammation. It increases heart disease problems. It's really quite a big issue. So the reason I wrote that in the book is because for some of us who wear a continuous glucose monitor,
I've been doing it a lot, back and forth. It's interesting, so interesting.
Right? Mm. So you might see, you know, if you eat pasta and then a cake, you might see the same glucose spike. It might be even the same size. But what you don't see on the glucose monitor is the fructose from the sweet food. So I don't want you to think that the pasta and the cake did the same thing to your body because the glucose spike was the same, because of the hidden fructose in the sugar that you have to keep in mind. That always means that a sweet food is always worse for you than a starchy food.
Mm. That is very good to remember, because I guess we have all felt the huge cravings. I mean, when you just need to have something, and then if you have to choose, always go for the starchy food.
So for example, sometimes, you know, it's the afternoon and I really want to eat like a cake or something. Then I'm like, you know what, maybe I'll have some rice instead. Maybe I'll have some like some bread instead, because I know, oh, in the rice and the bread, there's no fructose. Mm. So I'm making a better choice for my body.
Mm. That's a very good life hack. I read that you say that a vast majority, as much as 90% of us, are walking around with too high glucose levels and often without knowing it. Mm. That is a crazy figure.
Isn't that wild? Yeah, so some American studies say that about 90% of the population has glucose spikes from eating normal foods, you know, even if they're not diabetic. And so the estimates, they need to come out in each country. And, you know, it would be amazing to see in Sweden what that number is. But so far, we know it's probably a very high number, probably up to 90%. And so what's interesting about this is, if you're somebody who has, let's say, cravings, chronic fatigue, you're tired all the time, maybe you have acne, psoriasis, eczema, maybe your period is not very regular if you're a female, maybe you feel inflammation in your body, maybe your mood is unsteady, you know, these might very well be just the signs that you're having glucose spikes. Mm. And often we think, oh, I'm just somebody who has eczema, or I'm just somebody who is really tired throughout the day, right? But what I discovered is that these are actually messages from your body. Your body is trying to tell you, hello, hello, there's glucose spikes happening inside. So it's important to think, okay, probably I'm having glucose spikes. Let me try to avoid them. And then you can see how much better you feel and which symptoms go away. Mm. And that's a super powerful place to be.
Mm. Yeah, it sounds amazing, actually. So, as I said, I followed you on Instagram for quite a while now, and you have so many simple and useful life hacks to monitor glucose levels. Could you just help us out here? What are the best life hacks to someone who wants to get rid of the worst glucose spikes?
So these hacks are all things that I found in scientific studies that have come out in the past few years. And so I distilled them into these 10 principles that are in my book, Glucose Revolution. So let's start with maybe the most surprising one, or one of the most surprising ones. So one of the hacks is, when you're eating a meal, make sure to eat the vegetables in the meal first. Mm. The order in which you eat your food matters. In the studies, they show that if you just do that, if you just switch the order and have the vegetables first and anything that contains glucose last, you can reduce the glucose spike of the meal by up to 75%.
Mm, that's crazy.
So up to 75% without changing what you're eating, just by changing the order. Because in the veggies, there's this really cool substance called fiber. And fiber, when you eat it first, before anything else, it does like a very cool trick. It deploys itself in the upper part of your intestine, and it makes like a protective mesh. And that protective mesh prevents your body from absorbing too much glucose coming down afterwards during the rest of the meal. So it's a very easy hack to start with. And just start today. Like, if you're listening and you find this resonating with you, at your next meal, you know, have the veggies first and anything that has glucose last, and see if you feel different. For most of us, the effect is quite immediate, actually. You feel much less tired after the meal. You have way fewer cravings. Mm. And those are just the short-term signs that your glucose is steadying.
Mm. And in between, you have the meat and
proteins
fat
and fats, yeah. And so the most important part of this is really to have the veggies first. If afterwards you want to have a mixed dish with like the proteins and the fats and the carbs together, that's actually like fine. Mm. But the most important is to really think, okay, let me have a starter that's based around veggies. And you could even like make a bunch of veggies on the weekend and keep them in your fridge. And then before every meal, you know, take them out. Maybe it's some roasted cauliflower with some tahini and sea salt. And that can be your protective fibrous vegetable starter. Breakfast.
Mm.
What's the typical breakfast in Sweden?
This is like, I changed my breakfast a few years ago when I learned what I think you're about to say. Yeah. But a typical breakfast in Sweden, it is a very starchy breakfast. So we have like granola and fruit yogurt, you know, bread with jam.
So starchy and sweet.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So that's really interesting. And in most, you know, countries, that's actually what's happening now. Most people are having starches and sugars for breakfast. on a completely empty stomach, when actually the breakfast is the worst time to have starches and sugars. Let me explain. So in the morning, after you've slept, your body is really empty. Your stomach is very empty. So anything that arrives into your digestive system is going to make its way very quickly into your bloodstream. So if you eat something that contains glucose, so starches or sugars, it will immediately go to your bloodstream and create a glucose spike. The glucose spike itself has, you know, these side effects, inflammation, aging, etc. But also, if your breakfast creates a glucose spike, the rest of your day is going to be more deregulated. So we always say breakfast is the most important meal of the day. It's also the most impactful on your glucose levels. So if you have a spike at breakfast, your whole day, you're going to be going up and down this roller coaster, feeling really hungry and having a craving and needing to eat every 90 minutes. Then you're going to feel a bit tired and sleepy. You're going to need some more sugar. And you're just setting yourself up for a whole day of just being kind of a victim to your glucose roller coaster. Instead, the hack is, instead of a sweet breakfast, have a savory breakfast that is based around protein. Now, if you do this, your entire day changes because you're no longer on this crazy roller coaster of glucose levels. Mm. Your energy is steady. You don't have all these cravings. You're not hungry all the time. And you're helping your body medium term and long term on top of feeling better during the day. And there's one big myth that I grew up with that I want to talk about. The big myth is that in the morning, you need to have sugar to give your body energy.
Mm.
And it's really not the case, because something sweet gives us pleasure, dopamine in the brain. So it makes us feel like quite awake for a little while. We feel very perked up. But actually, a glucose spike and sugar is hurting your mitochondria and your cells' ability to make energy long term. So it's really exactly the opposite of what we've all been told. Sugar is not good for energy. Sugar is good for pleasure. But long term, your energy is going to be in the toilet.
Mm. Very important, because I think that still many people believe this.
Absolutely. And it's not their fault. You know, we've been brought up like this. I mean, I used to eat a Nutella crepe and orange juice every morning for breakfast. And, you know, like nutritionists used to say that this was a good breakfast because it had sugar. And so it was important to have sugar in the morning. Things evolve, you know, the world changes, science evolves. But I'm really passionate about making sure people have the latest information so that they're not, you know, eating based on 10-year-old outdated stuff.
Yeah, that's very cool. You also have something else that you often say. You say, put clothes on your carbs.
Yes.
I love that expression.
You love it? Yeah. Okay, fantastic. So carbs, or carbohydrates, is what we call the family of foods that turn into glucose. So starches or sugars, those are carbs. And as I just explained for the breakfast thing, if you have carbs on their own, so for example, if you have a piece of bread on its own, or if you have, I don't know, some chocolate on its own, well, the glucose in these carbohydrates is going to land in your stomach, in your empty stomach, and then very quickly go to your bloodstream. So here's what you do. If you want to eat those carbs, which is completely fine, but you want to reduce their glucose spike, what you do is you put clothing on your carbs. So clothing is protein, fat, or fiber. So for example, if you want to eat some bread, put some cheese or some fish on it. If you want to eat some chocolate, have it with some nuts, you know? Mm. Just kind of try to combine things so that your meals or your snacks are never just pure carbs. And that's going to allow you to still have all the pleasure from the carbs, but without creating the cravings roller coaster and without creating the glucose spike that has so many side effects. And that's really like my philosophy. It's like teaching people to eat the carbs that they love and that give us pleasure with a minimal impact on our health.
Mm. I mean, this you also write that talking about putting clothes on your carbs, you also write that a dessert is much healthier than a snack. Yeah. And that's the same theory behind.
Yeah? Same concept. So if you want to eat something sweet, the worst time is breakfast, or between meals, naked.
Mm.
The best time to eat your favorite cake is dessert after a meal. So If you, I heard that in Sweden you have this concept of fika.
Yeah, that's terrible.
So I was just
Everyone loves it, of course.
Just learning today about this. And so maybe, you know, one tip for somebody who loves the fika is to, instead of having it between meals, you have it at the end of your lunch or at the end of your dinner. I know it can take a little bit of getting used to, but if you're somebody who relates to any of the symptoms that I talked about earlier, you know, you should make sure that you're avoiding glucose spikes so you can feel better and be happier. So that's an easy other hack that's in my book. Sweet stuff as dessert, yes, between meals, not so good for the glucose levels.
Mm. For many years, I was living on glucose spikes.
Really?
I mean, I was living on with a glucose that went on a roller coaster. And the fika was basically the savior of the day.
Yeah.
Because at like 4 o'clock every day, I went down to the tube station, the underground, and I bought like buns or, you know, something for the whole office. And everyone was so happy,
so happy,
you know, always to have this fika. And I realize now in hindsight, I mean, I wasn't even hungry. It was just my, you know,
absolutely,
I needed another glucose spike.
And actually, in my book, I want to show you, because I have the glucose roller coaster that you're talking about. I think it's chapter 6. And it's such a common thing that people experience, this just full day glucose roller coaster. There we go. It's here. It's page 114 of Glucose Revolution. And you see, this is the glucose levels during a whole day of somebody who's on that roller coaster.
Yeah,
right?
It was me.
It was you?
Yeah. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Another very surprising hack that I found in the science is vinegar. So the scientific studies are quite interesting. They show us that if we have 1 spoon of vinegar before a meal, any kind of vinegar, in a big glass of water, we can reduce the glucose spike of the meal by up to 30% without changing the food we're eating, just by adding the vinegar. And so you can have it in a drink, but you can also just make a little vinaigrette, like a little vinegar sauce, and put that on your vegetables at the beginning of the meal. It's quite cool. And the scientists have discovered that this works because vinegar has a molecule in it called acetic acid. And acetic acid actually slows down how quickly carbohydrates break down into glucose in your digestive system. And acetic acid also goes to your muscles and tells your muscles to soak up more glucose from your bloodstream. So that's a really cool hack as well. But yeah, in the book there are 10, and they're all kind of easy like this, very surprising based on recent science. And my hope is that people will go through the 10 and then just like pick the ones that work best for them. Mm. It's really up to you to compose your music with the glucose hacks.
I really love the apple cider vinegar because I often take it as a substitute for a drink.
Yeah.
Like if you feel I can't have wine today, then it's so nice to just have some bubbly water.
With sparkling water, absolutely.
That's perfect before the food,
absolutely,
when everyone else is drinking wine.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
So we talked about that there are links to all kinds of diseases. would you claim that the fact that many of us, I mean about 90%, have too many glucose spikes in a day is a big reason behind the rising in lifestyle diseases?
I think it kind of goes hand in hand, or they both influence each other. You know, there's so many factors that are increasing all these chronic diseases that we're having. One being the food we have access to these days, being very high in carbs and sugars and starches. Two, like all the other inflammatory things going on and the lack of education. So yes, it's definitely one of the factors. It's not the only one. You know, there's many other things going on. But the way I see it is that since most of us have glucose spikes, most of us should learn how to avoid them as a baseline for our health. This should be like the pillar on which we build our healthy life. And it should be sort of the giants that we lean on to be able to operate in a world that's so full of processed foods and et cetera, et cetera. So to me, it's a very important place to start. And we will all be healthier and reduce our risk of chronic diseases, lifestyle diseases, if we balance our glucose levels. That's an absolute fact.
In Sweden, at least, I don't know how it is in France, but there has been a discussion about glucose spikes and cancer. And what would you say about that? The risk of cancer when you are on regular glucose spikes?
So what I can tell you is what the science tells us, which is two things. So one, we know that some tumors feed off of glucose and sugar. And so that when you reduce the glucose available, some of these tumors will actually like have decreased supply and can shrink in size. Secondly, glucose spikes increase inflammation. That's one of the main processes that happen in our body. And we know that cancer is an inflammatory disease. So when you reduce the glucose spikes, you reduce the inflammation, you increase your chance of being able to avoid getting cancer or fight cancer, right? It's all very interconnected. And you know, for a very long time, we thought that food had no impact on the risk of cancer, right? And now we know that's not true at all. We know that there are things we can do to prevent it from arriving, or once we have it, to, you know, fight it more strongly. So, I mean, the link is still evolving, but from what I see, it's pretty clear that it's really important to balance your glucose levels if you want to reduce your risk or fight cancer more effectively. And of course, there are other things you need to do, like exercising, having good medical care, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. Stress is also a factor. It's a complex disease, but glucose levels is definitely a part of it.
Apart from cancer, Alzheimer's and depression are very widely spread today. I think that Alzheimer's is the leading cause of death in UK, at least. Right. Yes, it is. Michael Mosley told me when I met him. I didn't know.
Wow.
And Alzheimer's is actually called now diabetes type 3.
Type 3 diabetes, yes, because the cells in our brain, they also rely on glucose. And so when you have glucose spikes, they also feel the side effect of the spikes. You know, they feel the aging and they feel the inflammation from the spikes. And now we're calling Alzheimer's type 2 diabetes because we're discovering that in the brain of people who have Alzheimer's disease, there is insulin resistance of the brain cells, meaning that the brain cells can no longer have the energy they need. The communication between the brain cells gets slowed down, so it just doesn't work very well anymore. It's a very interesting piece of the health space. I think we're going to learn a lot in the next few years, for sure.
When we talk about brain health, that basically not only Alzheimer's and depression, but in general,
brain fog. We know that glucose spikes are linked to brain fog, to more anxiety and to more depression symptoms. So truly, you know, because every cell in your body, from your brain to your toes, uses glucose, and because they all feel a glucose spike doesn't happen just in your blood. Like, the glucose spike happens everywhere in your body. We measure glucose in the blood, so we think, oh, my glucose is just in the blood. But actually, the spikes happen everywhere. And so your cells, they get overwhelmed by these spikes. And depending on which organ they're in, it's going to create different kinds of issues. But for sure, if you're somebody who, you know, suffers from difficult mental health episodes, you should definitely have a look at what you're eating and try to avoid these spikes. And the mental health angle is actually why I first got interested in glucose. Because in my early 20s, I started developing a lot of mental health issues like depression, anxiety, dissociation, all that stuff. And I wanted to figure out how to feel better. And I was very lost and it was very confusing. But I went on this quest. I was like, I need to figure out what to do. So I studied biochemistry to understand the body. And then I worked in genetics for 5 years to understand DNA. And then I came across glucose and the science of glucose. And for me, it was transformative. I was able to see that my glucose spikes were triggering these mental health episodes that I was suffering from for like a decade. And then I had no idea why they came about. It seemed like it was random. But then once I learned about glucose and I wore a glucose monitor, I was able to see such a strong and tight correlation. And that completely changed everything for me. So I was like, wow, if this is affecting my mental health, what else is it affecting? Turns out it affects everything. And depending on you, the state of your body, you know, your antecedents, whatever your health is, the glucose spikes might create different symptoms, you know? Maybe for you, the symptoms is like you get pimples on your face. Maybe for somebody else, their period stops. Like, who knows? But glucose spikes affect each and every one of us. But how they express themselves or how your body tries to tell you about them varies.
So what, apart from mental issues, did you feel were getting better when you started to monitoring the spikes?
God, honestly, so much stuff. It was really shocking to me because I came at it for the mental health. And then I realized, oh, this is how much energy I'm supposed to have in a day. I'm not supposed to be tired. I'm not supposed to be starving at 11 a.m. All these things that I just thought were me. Or like I used to have really bad period cramps, like always. I don't have any cramps anymore. It's just gone.
That's,
you know,
wonderful.
All the hormonal stuff. And that's a story I hear very often from my readers. They're like, oh, you know, I came to your book because I wanted to reverse my prediabetes. And now I realize like, oh my God, all my hair has grown back, you know?
I actually read that.
Isn't that wild? So a lot of things get better. Really, they do. And it's quite cool to understand that a lot of the symptoms you've been having or a lot of the traits that you thought were just you, like you're somebody who gets hangry or you're somebody who has bad acne or you're somebody who XYZ, actually, it might not be the case. It might just be that your whole life you were having glucose spikes every day. And so the glucose spikes were creating those symptoms. But if you fix it, maybe you're actually not a person who has all of these symptoms. You're somebody who has a lot of energy and feels great all the time.
I mean, it sounds so simple,
but
if you've been, I would call myself a former food addict almost, because I was just craving on starchy food and sugary food, and I had everything with a great pleasure because, I mean, I just loved food, and I didn't understand why I shouldn't have that kind of food. So I confused pleasure with my true needs in a way. I felt, but I want this. But now I realize it was the brain, the receptors in the brain. Like, I was a smoker before as well. And my body didn't want me to smoke, but my brain wanted it.
There's a part in our brain that is in charge of our cravings. And the scientists have shown that when your glucose levels are low, the craving center in your brain activates. And your brain is like, oh my God, I need to eat sugar. I need to have carbs. And actually, that's just a biological response to the low glucose that usually happens after a spike, right? So you feel like it's you, but actually, it's probably the glucose roller coaster creating all these symptoms. And what I like seeing is that people go from a place where they felt addicted or controlled by food or these really intense impulses, kind of like what you're describing, to a place of like pleasure and joy, which is like, I don't need to eat something sweet right now, but if I see something I really like and, you know, I want to have it, I'll have it. But it's a slightly different relationship you have with food now. You're not just eating something sweet, anything that's in the mini bar around you. It's more like a conscious choice.
And also it could be something else than sweets. And that's wonderful. It could actually be a really nice salad, which sounds so boring to someone who is, you know, thriving on starchy food. But that's, to me, has been the most, you know,
Because now you crave vegetables.
Reward.
Yeah,
exactly.
I crave vegetables too.
Yeah, I feel, my body tells me that.
Spinach.
Yeah, you need to have some nice vegetables.
Absolutely.
So this is an interesting question, I think. What is your view when it comes to health regarding children and food today? Mm. I mean, many children thrive on high carbohydrates and have a lot of sugary snacks and sodas. How do you think that will affect them going forward?
It's a very good question. And I want to do more research into kids and children because I don't know enough, to be honest. But what's clear is that, you know, the brains and the bodies of children also get affected by what they eat. It's not like when you're a kid, nothing affects you and then you turn 18 and then, you know, your food starts affecting your body. Like, we know that it's a process. We know that children who are 5 years old can get type 2 diabetes. Mm. This stuff happens, you know, so there are processes happening in the child's body. So I need to do more research on this, but it's a very ripe topic. And you, because you have kids, what has been your experience with that?
No, my experience was that when I was young, because I was young in the 80s, and then it was only about if you were skinny or if you gained weight. And I was a skinny child, so no one ever cared about what I had for, to eat. I would say that today it's almost like we parents have forgotten about, we give ourselves nutritious foods. This is what I experience a lot. And then the children, we give unhealthy foods because it's like child food in a way. It's considered a child food. So when we give them starchy, sugary food, we ourselves have our salad.
Yeah. But it would probably be better if kids ate the same food as we did.
Yes,
right?
But this is why I've been thinking about it, because I also have a horse and a dog. And I mean, I'm so careful with what I give them to eat.
Yeah.
But often I find myself to, when my children say, I want this, I want that, I find myself to, give up because it's, okay, you can have that.
Yeah, probably because, you know, as you said, like if you see a kid who looks quote unquote normal and who looks quote unquote healthy, whatever that means, you know, and in the past we're like, as long as you're slim, it means you're healthy. Mm. So we kind of forget that it's not the case at all. That somebody can be very slim, but on the inside have a lot of problems, have a lot of inflammation, have diseases developing. Like, it's not so much a slam dunk anymore, which is a really cool development, actually.
Yeah.
Because we're realizing even very skinny people can have type 2 diabetes.
Yeah.
You know? So, fascinating topic. I need to dive into it more because I get asked a lot about it. But I don't want to say too much until I know all the research that's out there, but it's coming.
So food has a great impact on our glucose spikes, but you also sometimes talk about other lifestyle areas that have an effect.
It's very interesting. So many things have an impact on your glucose levels, food being the number one. Let's be very clear, like, it is the number one thing, but so many cool stuff as well. So, for example, if you're female, the time of the month, so the week before your period, you'll get bigger glucose spikes from the same foods. Mm. Your microbiome, your DNA, how hydrated you are, how tired or rested you are.
Yeah, because that you feel. I mean, when you're tired, it's so much more.
So much harder.
Yeah, it's so harder and you feel the craving for snacks.
Absolutely, absolutely. Also, because when you're tired, you want to feel better. Mm. So you crave things that will give you dopamine. Right, when I'm tired, all I want to do is eat spaghetti and cookies. Nobody can stop me. I'm like on a mission, a spaghetti cookie mission. And by the way, like, I eat spaghetti and cookies if I want to eat spaghetti and cookies. There's no, you know, we're not here to do extreme unsustainable stuff or to cut out entire food groups. But yeah, so when you're tired, the same food is going to make a bigger spike than usual, so you're more likely to create the cravings roller coaster that we all want to get off of. Other things that impact our glucose levels are our muscle mass. Mm. So how much muscle mass you have. how metabolically healthy you are. So how close or how far to type 2 diabetes you are, that'll impact the shape of a glucose spike. Your sex, you know, your height. I mean, like, it's infinite. And that's why if you and I both wore the same continuous glucose monitor and both ate the same food, our glucose spikes would look very different. I might have a really big spike and you might have a really small spike. And we can't really compare your spike and my spike and say who's healthier or whatever. It doesn't really work that way. What's important is to think, okay, no matter what my spikes are, if I use these hacks, they will get smaller and the symptoms will reduce. And that's really what's most important.
Thank you for a great interview.
Thank you for having me.
That you have learned a lot, and I could really recommend every one of you to read this book. I mean, it's such a, I love all these life hacks, and also, I mean, it's a lot of information if you want to know more about how it works in the body. The book is in Swedish now, and it's called Glukosrevolutionen, Balansera blodsockret och förändra ditt liv. Thank you so much, Jesse.
Thank you for having me.
Du har lyssnat på Food Pharmacy-podden med Lina Närtby och Mia Klase. Mia var ju inte med idag, men det var däremot Jesse Inchuspe. Och jag heter Sebastian Ring och står för musik och vanligtvis redigering. Men denna vecka så har Filippa Markaj redigerat. Vill du ha mer av oss på Food Pharmacy så finns vi på foodpharmacy.se och på Instagram under namnet food_pharmacy. Det var allt för nu. Hej!
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.